don't know where to put these. You know, if you're in a place where there's a fixed stand, you kind of have to go there so that, you know, we have this benefit of being able to move things around a little bit. Sometimes that just drives me crazy. Choices sometimes just too many choices for some things. Choices is a good thing, but sometimes there's just too many possibilities for things. I might have shared this before, that the toothpaste aisle in Walmart drives me crazy. Do you want fresh breath, or do you want white teeth, or do you want no cavities? You can't have it all. You gotta, or you have to buy like six different tubes of toothpaste. And you know, this is that's kind of funny, but it is true that it's we just 280,000 channels on TV. You know, choices, 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 and it has developed a culture of people who think we deserve to have choices for everything, which flies in the face of Christianity. There's only one choice to make. And this, you know, is problematic because the philosophy of the world has become, well, I should be able to pick one from column A and two from column B and, you know, just make it the way I want it to be. And that the truth is the truth is the truth. And that's, get away from that and just talk about some truth here. As I said last week, Merry Christmas. And if you weren't here last week, or if you're visiting maybe for the first time, that video that we showed before and what we're getting ready to talk about may seem like we're kind of caving in with the retail stores and the TV ads and the newspaper ads that are already pumping into the Christmas thing about buying and all that. And actually, this is just the opposite. We're going on the offensive against that. Not against Christmas, not against gift giving, but against things that would blot out Christ in the middle of Christmas. And last year we did this thing called the Advent Conspiracy, which was a new way to look at Christmas, reclaiming the idea that Christmas can still change the world. And like I said last week, it went really well last year. We did it during Advent, however. So by the end, and people came up and they said, we were really convicted about how we do things, but we've already done them this year. We've already bought all our stuff. We've already done all the crazy stuff for Christmas. So this year, we moved back a few weeks, and we decided to talk about it before the event, except for the, I know that some of you have already, you don't have to raise your hands, but some of you have already been out shopping, and it's not Christmas Eve yet, so that's just silly. So the four topics that we are talking about are worship fully, spend less, give more, and I always feel the need to talk about give more for those who may be visiting for the first time, that when we talk about giving more, we're not talking about giving more to Three Stones Church. We're talking about giving more of yourself to others and maybe giving money that you didn't spend to some cause that would help someone else somewhere. So worship fully, spend less, give more, and love all. This year, we're looking at those four topics through the lens of the end of Romans 11 and the 12th chapter of Romans. So last week, we talked about worship fully. And next week, we'll talk about give more and then the following on love all. Today, we're talking about spending less. And we're returning to Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. Almighty God, as we have gathered here this morning, with this season indeed upon us, and knowing that you have a plan, your word tells us that you have ordered our lives. You have ordained things for us. And we learned not so many weeks ago about storing up treasures in heaven, not on earth where moth and rust and thieves have at the things that we're storing up here. So Lord, you know, we know that you have great things in mind for us. May we not toss those away and replace them with cheap baubles. Lord, We ask that your Holy Spirit would illuminate your word for us this morning, that we would hear what you would have us hear. That we would think correctly as you would have us think. That we would be changed in the way that you would change us. And then we would leave this place and go and say and go and do and go in the ways that you would have us. Teach us. We ask for your help. Teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I played that little game with the kids this morning, and I know you probably have it with your kids or grandkids, that little toy I was talking about with the odd-shaped holes. When I was little and the world was a little more two-dimensional, we just had I remember this little flat board that had round holes and square holes and little pegs and a little hammer. With a hammer, you can put a square peg in a round hole. If not, you just need a bigger hammer, but that's another story. But, you know, have you ever felt like that? You've heard that expression, right? You're a square peg in a round hole. We've heard that. Maybe it's been applied to you in front of you, or maybe said about you behind your back. But in this world, if you're a Christian, you are indeed a square peg in a round hole. You see, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he made the earth to suit us. And he made us in his image. But then we and the world fell. But if we've become believers, if we're following Jesus Christ, if we've been reshaped by him, we should no longer fit comfortably into the world, into the ways of this world. You may have heard that old gospel hymn, right? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. That should be us. We should recognize that there's something wrong here, that we don't try to fit in. There's a hole here in this world, but it's a grotesque, misshapen hole that we should not fit into. We were created in the image of God, created to look like him. If you have your Bibles, I hope you do, if you turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. We read through these verses last week, as well as part of chapter 11, but we're just going to look at these two verses, primarily verse 2. Last week we talked about worshiping fully and the things that led us into this. The words that led us into this from chapter 11 talked about the greatness of God and who has the mind of the Lord. So what we're seeing here and what we talked about last week is that the great I Am, the eternal King, the creator of all that is, the shaper of mountains, the parter of seas, is worthy of our worship. And that he's calling for all of us, all of ourselves, to be in worship to him. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Therefore, I urge you. Therefore, as we know, refers to what took place before, what was said before, not just chapter 11, but really all that Paul has been talking about through this letter. That those who have read this letter and read it up to this point understand that there is a God who is worthy of worship, who sent his Son, who has called us into sonship. He's called us into this place, and therefore, because of all of that, I, Paul, urge you, readers of Romans. And I, Jim, urge you, members of Three Stones Church, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And I'm going to pause right there. The emphasis today is on verse 2, but in reading this and going through an exercise that I do in preparing sermons, I came across something that I missed last week. If you have the NIV in front of you, this says, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And one of the things that I do is I have 8 versions of Scripture that I pull up and I lay side by side and I compare the wording of each of those versions too. And this is the only one that states it this way, in view of God's mercy. Okay, if you were at Tuesday morning Bible study or if you're at the membership class, you heard me rant about this earlier, so I apologize for hearing me rant about it again. But this could be easily misunderstood. I think they meant the right thing here. But every other version of Scripture that I can find, and I went beyond those 8 that I usually use, every one that I could find says, by God's mercy. So if you have anything else, I bet that's what it says. If you've got an ESV or NRSV, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers, by God's mercy. And you might wonder what difference that makes. What is the difference? Well, the way I think this could be misread in view of God's mercy is this. You have someone in your life that's been nice to you. Someone in your life that's been good to you. And so you get the idea that, you know, they've been good to me, so I'm going to pay it forward. I'll be good to somebody else. Or they've been good to me, so I'll be nice back. In view of what they've done for me, I will also treat other people the same way. In view of what they've done, as I see what they've done. I don't think that's really what these translators meant, but I could see how it could be easily read that way. But when I say, by God's mercy, to offer myself, that means something completely different. That means I was homeless. I had no family. I was sick. I had no food. I had no prospects. I had no job. I had nothing. I was this close to death. And someone came and they lifted me up and they helped me restore my life. And they took me and got medical care and they gave me food to eat and they gave me a place to live and then they gave me $1 billion. And now I want to go and I want to treat them well and I want to treat other people well. But the only way I can do anything at all good is because of what I was initially given. Prior to receiving that gift, there was nothing that I could give to anyone else. I had nothing to offer. And so I think it's important that we note that when we are going to offer ourselves to God, holy and pleasing, it's not because I'm taking all the stuff inside me that was there always that was holy and pleasing to God, because nothing was. There was nothing about me holy, and there was nothing about me pleasing to God until He gave me Jesus, until He gave me His Holy Spirit. Only after I have received what God has to give, can I give anything back to Him? Right? Every good and perfect gift is from above. And all of us are sinners, separated from God until we receive. So the only way I can give anything back to God is by recognizing He has given to me first. And this then becomes our spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What we think is important. We said last week that what we do is important. What we think is important. Our minds must be renewed. And we are not to conform any longer to the pattern of this world. What does it mean to be conformed or to form something? Conformed means to be formed with. That's how you put those things together. So to be formed is to be shaped. So saying that being shaped by the pattern of this world. the pattern of this world is a broken, fallen pattern. This applies to the Christmas stuff that we're talking about. It applies to our spending and what we've come to accept and what we've come to want to do. Afraid of disappointment. I need to tell you a story, though. I think sometimes we worry about why our kids might respond if we start thinking this way. We're going to disappoint our children. They won't understand. Last night was one of the respite nights where we, and many of you were there, we work with families of children with special needs, and they come and drop their kids off for 3 hours. We are at Grace Presbyterian Church, and it's a wonderful night. And there's a little boy named Noah. Noah's a great little kid. He's 6 years old. He has Down syndrome. And he is an active little dude. And he's a pretty big guy for a little guy. And he was acting up. He's a sweet kid, but he was acting up. And he planted himself in the hallway and wasn't moving. And Abby, who you've heard speak here, she couldn't move him, so she came and got me, and I moved him. And we went to another room, and she sat him down, 6-year-old boy with Down syndrome, and she said, "Noah, who do we live to please?" He said, "God." 6-year-old boy with Down syndrome. He said, "God." She says, "What you've been doing just now, was that pleasing to God?" "No, but I wanted to." "Right. You're pleasing yourself." "Yeah. Is that what you want to do?" "No." "Will you pray?" "You do it." And he prayed. They prayed together. Children can understand a lot more than we think they can. And the same Holy Spirit that hovered over the waters of creation, the same Holy Spirit that told Elizabeth that it was Mary carrying the Christ child, that same Holy Spirit that freed Christ from the tomb, that Holy Spirit will go into the mind of a 5 or 6 or 8 or 10-year-old. If we will lead the way, if we will biblically lead the way, you think God doesn't love that child enough to help them understand? He does. And their understanding may be somewhat limited worldwide, but they have the same Holy Spirit. Look at the children in this room right now. The same Holy Spirit available to them. If they open, they can learn and they can understand. Sometimes I think better than we do. And I think Jesus said something about that. Be like them to understand. So conforming to this world is not a good thing. We should not fit. All the peer pressure, all the advertising, all those things that have been glommed on us for years and years and years. Well, they're just bad for us. But there's a better way. And when it says do not conform any longer, I think it means we have to understand that we have been conformed that way. We've grown up in that kind of world. So that there's a change must be made. It's not just a thought. It's not just a philosophy. A change must be made. We have been formed by the world in which we live, and that mold has to be broken. You know, we joke sometimes, well, when God made him, he broke the mold, right? We say that sometimes. The truth is, for all believers, God has to break the mold and recast us back into his image. So we need to get away from all that peer pressure, all that advertising, all that junk that tries to squeeze us in to a certain shape and allow God to do, to renew our minds. Read from the third chapter of the book of Titus. where Paul once again wrote, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, all that bad stuff, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth, renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He has poured out generously through Jesus our Savior. So renewal comes through the Holy Spirit. Colossians 3, 9 and 10 says, you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator. In Ephesians 4, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. So the pattern of this world is futile, and it causes our thinking to be futile. They are darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you have heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. What we think is important. How we think is important. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Does anyone here listen to Truth for Living, Alistair Begg? Familiar? Anyone? Yeah. Go listen to him. For one, he's Scottish, so he's just a lot of fun to listen to. But he has a great mind, and he tells a story of a man new to the faith that came in to visit with him, and he said, something strange has happened. I woke up, and my thinking on abortion has completely changed. I used to think it was just a choice, that it was just something people had the right to do, and I don't believe that anymore. And I didn't think through that so much as I just woke up understanding truth. How does that happen? And that's where Begg said, as I told the children this morning, it is the Word of God by the Spirit of God in the child of God, conforming him to the image of the Son of God. The Word of God, which we have, the Spirit of God, which the Word tells us is poured out generously upon us, coming into the child of God, conforming us not to the pattern of this world, but by the renewing of our mind, conforming us to the image of the Son of God. This is what Paul is calling us to. It is important what we think. It is important how we play out what we think. It is important how we apply what we think. But that begins with thinking correctly, thinking biblically, understanding what it is that God has put in place in this world. Seeing it as it really is. Because as Scripture says, until we see through Christ, we see in ignorance. It's like when some of these tribesmen have been discovered somewhere in the world that had no access to the outside world until something fell in. There was a movie that came out, I think, in the late 70s or early 80s called... maybe that was it. Gods Must Be Crazy, is that same? where a pilot flying by tosses a Coke bottle out of the window, and this guy who's never seen a car or a bicycle, let alone an airplane, finds this Coke bottle as it drops from the sky and assumes it must be from the gods. It was a bad assumption made on bad information, and it caused all kinds of trouble as it became an object of worship and envy. Because if it came from the gods, it must be important. And if it came to me, I must be important. Right? The world is full of crazy thinking. Except we look at that and see that it's crazy. But we look at all the other things that are going on in the world and, you know, it's just the way things are. Learned people, teaching. Now, this is not to say that science and technology and that those things are worthless. That they're not. People have come a long way. Many great things have been done by the human mind. But until that mind is focused on Christ, it is all for naught. It is all for a temporary purpose. Paul says, renew your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I think these words are so important. Transformed, conform means to be formed with or shaped with. Transformed means to have your form changed. You know, there was a cartoon, and then they became a movie some years ago, the Transformers. But they weren't Transformers. They changed into one shape, but then what did they do? They changed back. That's not transformation. Transformation is the caterpillar in the cocoon that goes in one thing and comes out something else. A beauty. A thing of beauty that can fly because of the work that God does. So this doesn't say fix yourself. It says don't conform any longer. You work on breaking that pattern. But be transformed. And that be is important. God, the Holy Spirit, is transforming you by the renewing of your mind. You will be changed into something new, beginning with your mind. Being changed, being renewed. Another really good word. Made new again. Your mind made new again. Made back in the way it was meant to be way back here in Genesis. Made the way it's supposed to be. Renewed. Made new again. Not made like its old self, but made new. God presents His Holy Spirit through His Son, Jesus Christ, who will bring you knowledge, illumination of the Scriptures, will bring you His Word. It is, again, the Word of God by the Spirit of God and the child of God conforming us into the image of God's Son. That's what Paul's talking about here. And he finishes by saying, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Please understand in that language as well that we don't get to, you know, sign off on God's will. It's not talking about us approving in the way we think of approving something. It's saying that we will see and know what is correct and right. We'll get it. We'll understand it. We'll test. We'll see where other things fall away and where this is the truth. How do we do that? By allowing His Holy Spirit to renew our minds, by using the tools He wishes to use with us, heavily into the Scripture, studying the Scripture, being in prayer, talking to people, serving, giving, allowing God to work in us so that we will become something different than we used to be. And it's not a change. Salvation is a change. You know, you're a new person. But this transformation is a lifelong process. The renewing of our mind is a lifelong process. Always, learning. I loved hearing the story, and I don't remember who the man's name was, but a pastor who was dying. He was in his deathbed. He was nearing 100 years old, and he was knew he had just days left. And another pastor, a younger man, came to visit him, and as he was leaving, said, "Is there anything I can do for you?" And he said, "Yeah." And he gave him a passage of scripture. He said, "I've been struggling with what that means. Will you go look in the commentaries? Will you go check and come back and talk to me about that?" This close to crossing over into glory, and still straining toward the goal. May it be so with us. May we have this great desire to know all that God says to us, to understand what it means for us, so that we don't have to get stuck in the pattern of this world. It applies year-round, but thinking again of this season. So we don't have to let the winds of advertising blow us and we're just helpless to do anything but get right into the mall with the money pouring out of our wallets, with big bundles to go back home. Again, buy gifts for people. Give gifts to people. I'm not saying don't do that. But let Christ be the front end of Christmas. Christmas can still change the world. Let God change your mind. Watch the world change around you.